When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The New York Giants' first preseason game is in the books, and I can tell you, there are some things that I like and some things that concern me. I'm Coach Gene Clemens, and I have a Giant issue. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to A Giant Issue. I am Coach Gene Clemens. Thank you for joining me wherever you are joining me. Really do appreciate it. New York Giants on SI. Make sure that you're going there for all of your New York Giants information. Check out my stop report that I put up there from the game yesterday. Also, make sure that you are hitting the subscribe button here so that you know anytime we post a new episode of A Giant Issue. We're trying to stay consistent Monday through Friday. Getting it to you the same time. We think we found a sweet spot, but we need you to do the job now. Spread the word. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the notification bell. Leave a message. If you are joining us on any platform as a podcast, either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever, leave us a rating. 5 stars, we appreciate it. If it's 4 stars, I get it. It'll be better next time, I promise. Hopefully, you guys had an opportunity to check out the preseason game between the Giants and the Lions. And there were some things that I liked. There were some things that I loved. And there were some things that really gave me a little concern, right? So I want to start because I want to start with positivity. I want to start with the thing that I liked. We heard all of this talk about the running backs and losing Saquon Barkley and how that was going to hurt. I've talked about the fact that it's going to hurt. I've been skeptical of this running back by committee type of thing. But what I saw yesterday was very, very positive. But if you look at the production of the three backs that were able to get time, we're talking about Gray, we're talking about Turbo, and we're talking about Tyrone Tracy Jr. Turbo got the most carries, and so he was able to show some things. What I looked at was the yards per carry, right? Everybody was over 5. Everybody was over 5 yards per carry. We obviously saw what Gray was able to do when he was able to get the ball. Not only as a runner, but as a pass receiver as well. We saw that Turbo is a hard running, fast. He's always just one cut away from breaking it for a touchdown. And then Tyrone Tracy Jr. looked smooth. He looked under control. He looked big, right? He looked like a bigger back. I think those three guys together, right, when you mix it with what we already know we're going to get out of Devin Singletary as the lead guy, it means that they have the ability to withstand injury because they should have faith that the other guy can come in and get the job done. Now, here is where it gets interesting at. Which one of those three guys helps the most on special teams? If it's Tyrone Tracy Jr., I think it is, and I think he probably has the most dynamics of all of them, right? Because he's played receiver and has more natural receiving ability, because he's a bigger body, I think he can help more on special teams. Special teams is going to decide which of these three dudes end up either on the active roster or on the practice squad. There's a chance that if one of these three dudes get cut, they may not have the opportunity to make it to the practice squad because another team might want to sign one of those up. Now, a lot of you out there might say, yeah, but Coach, This was against backups. Yeah, but they're backups. So don't you want your backups dominating other backups? You want the people that are one injury away from playing to be better than their people who are one injury away from playing. And these running backs, after all of the scrutiny and after all of the questions that we've had, knowing how good Saquon Barkley was, it's good to see them perform. It's good to see them show up. We haven't talked much about the running game in training camp, because the focus seemed to be so much on the passing game, right? So I like the fact that these running backs came out here and showed out. What Gray was able to do, especially on the long touchdown run, I don't know if people even recognize how cute it was, because he was coming through the line. He stepped his foot in to make the linebacker just have to respect him about the cutback, and then he took off. That was just enough time to let a lineman get a hand on that linebacker so he couldn't get him. Then he completely made a dude whiff, right? On the cutback in, he put his foot in the ground, jolted back to his left, right? And then turned on enough speed to outrun two defenders that had angles at him. That's impressive, right? That's impressive. That's the type of subtle nuance stuff that you would expect out of a back that has the level, has the ability to take it to the house. Turbo just seemed like a guy who could, and we're talking about Miller, obviously. I want to make sure that you guys know who I'm talking about. But it's not necessarily pretty with him. It's just when he decides he's going to go downhill, it's full speed, like with reckless abandon. It reminds me a lot of Isaiah Pacheco in Kansas City, the way in which he just has that one cut and then hits it and uses the speed almost as a physical weapon, because now he's gotten up to full speed and you got to try to come and tackle him, right? So I think that that's something that I look at and go, wow, you know, that's a weapon. And then with Tyrone Tracy Jr., he just seemed so smooth and so fluid. It didn't seem as if he was running scared. It didn't seem as if he was running apprehensive. It didn't seem like he was running without a purpose. He seemed to know. And maybe that's why he got the start, right? Maybe that's why he got the start, because of all three of the backs, he was probably the one who showed the most poise, the most fluidity. And so he got the first knock. So that means that the number two guy in Gray and the number three guy on that preseason day in Turbo were facing even lesser competition, right? Competition that wasn't even remotely on the same level as they were. That's going to make a difference. But you still got to like the way Tyrone Tracy Jr. ran the ball. And again, 5+ yards a carry for all the backs. That'll do. Not 5+ yards to carry altogether, meaning Tracy Jr. averaged 5+, right? Gray averaged like well more than 5+, and Turbo Miller averaged 5+. That is phenomenal production out of your running backs. More positives, right? More positives. How would they be able to do that if it wasn't for the offensive line, right? And I just can't help but feel so bad, because for as much as we like to talk about Daniel Jones not having an offensive line, Saquon Barkley had to run behind that offensive line. And that was an offensive line of pure backups. There were no starters in there. Now, Aaron Stinney, depending upon, you know, what happens with John Michael Smits and Evan Neal, could find himself as the starting right guard. Right? Van Roten is in there at center. He can be the starting right guard. Like, that's a possibility. But at the end of the day, the fact that they all, like, look uniform, they all look like they had the same purpose, they all played physical, I think that is a testament to what we thought we would get with the new offensive line coach, Carmen Brasillo. And we're seeing that he's putting his thumbprints on these guys right now. They know where they're going. They have a purpose. They look like they're in sync. We have to praise the connectivity of the group. We have to praise the cohesion of the group, right? Because if they had not done well, if they had struggled, then we would have came in and criticized, hey, this offensive line looks just as bad. But the fact that none of the starters played and all of these backups comported themselves well, the only sack that I saw, there was two sacks given up. I think both of those sacks were on the quarterback, like holding the ball. Tommy DeVito, I think one was holding the ball very long. The other one was Drew Locke, where he had all the time, but instead of stepping up in the pocket, he tried to like run to his right. And Mazzuto had run the guy all the way around him. And if he had stepped up, he had had so much more time. But because he ran to the right, he ran him essentially right to where Mazzuto was pushing him to. And the guy was able to get down. Now, I will tell you, I thought Jake Kubis, I thought he played extremely well. A guy who should show poise. He was in college for 6 years. So I expected him to show poise. I did like the way he and Mazzuto were able to blow people off the ball in the run game. We know as a run blocker, Mazzuto is a good run blocker. He's trying to get better as a pass blocker out at tackle. Remember, they drafted him with the idea to play guard, and then because of injuries last year, started pulling him back to tackle. I still don't think tackle is the best position for him. However, I have seen growth. I have seen like better, right? And so those are things that you get excited about. Aaron Stinney looking like a professional, just plugging in and doing what he was supposed to do under there. You know, Schlottman at center, I thought he played well. So it was high marks for me for the offensive line. Do I know how that offensive line would have held up against the ones? No. But again, they were able to dominate the twos and their twos, and that's what we should want out of our twos, right? That's what we should all hope for. As a coach, I want my twos to dominate the other twos. I want my ones to dominate the ones, because if they dominate the ones, they're going to dominate everybody else. I want my twos to dominate the twos, because if they dominate the twos, then they have a chance to be, you know, formidable against the ones. And if I have to plug one in, right, not wholesale, if I have to plug one in, probably not a bad situation, right? More high marks to come. You know, I thought that at the tight end, Jackson played well. If y'all don't know the history, Jackson used to be a quarterback at the University of Buffalo. And it's funny, because he was a quarterback at the University of Buffalo who had the exact same profile as Josh Allen. Big, athletic, super strong arm. Except when he got to the league, never got a chance at quarterback. I wonder why. He was way better at quarterback in college than Josh Allen was. And he played at Buffalo, and Josh Allen, you know, played at Wyoming. So it's not like, you know, he was playing much, much better. I mean, with much, much better talent than what Josh Allen was playing with it. But he was playing much, much better competition. And so it's interesting that Josh Allen got the chance to develop as a quarterback, but he didn't. But I thought as a 6'7", 250-pound tight end who has an ability to run fast and has a ridiculous catch radius, I thought he did a fantastic job. I wrote about it in my piece. Two catches. There was one time, right, where I think they were running either a power play or some type of gap scheme play. He ain't block a soul, right? And the play got stopped in the backfield. But they were able to get down because of him and his catch in the passing game that got him down to the one. And then that next play, he was on the left side, and he came up in full speed, you know, exploded into a linebacker that allowed them to get just a little bit more room over there. The running back was able to get in. That's the type of fight you got to have as a tight end. Is he a great tight? Is he a great blocker? No, but apparently nobody else is either, because they kept bringing in an extra offensive lineman as a sixth blocker in the run game or as a sixth blocker in the passing game. So, like, if they're not going to prioritize a tight end as a blocker, then he has to be considered a factor as a pass receiver because his measurables are ridiculous. Will he make the actual 53? I don't know. Is he a great candidate to possibly go on, you know, the practice squad? I hope so, because if not, I could see him getting picked up by another team because of what he brings to the table with his measurables. So that those are positives that I saw. The defensive line and linebackers. I thought the linebackers played really well. I thought all the defensive linemen played hard, played tough.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
They were fast. They were physical. Those are all positives, right? Jeremy Mulisau, I thought he played really well. I thought Darian Beavers looked really, really good. That bodes well for the people who are behind the starters, right? I thought all of the linebackers comported themselves well. I saw one missed tackle that was ugly. But other than that, I thought they comported themselves well. I thought the defensive linemen looked explosive. They looked dominant. Jordan Riley, a couple of times, just one hand, mushing offensive linemen and getting them out of the way, controlling the gap, right? And then closing it down and making the tackle. You got to love to see it out of the second year man who came in looking really good, like looking like he was ready to be something more than he was last year. And then to see him go out there and be dominant in his snaps versus those other offensive linemen, you got to love that as well. So from that standpoint, I really like what everyone did. But there was some negatives, right? There was some negatives. And the first negative I'm going to start with is the wide receiving core. Because, you know, a lot has been made about this wide receiving core looking so good in training camp, right? Looking so dominant in training camp. Where were they in this game? Like, where were all the people weren't getting open? And then when people were getting open, they weren't. And if people were getting open, it wasn't like they were getting so open that it was ridiculous that they didn't get the ball thrown to them. Guys were not separating. Guys were not getting separation on short routes. They weren't getting separation on intermediate routes. They weren't getting separation on deep routes. And that's a problem, especially because the first series, maybe even into the second series, we saw Jalin Hyatt and Malik Nabers out there, right? Now, I'm not saying that this is something we have to be worried about, but if we're talking about within the moment in that game, a stock up, stock down, the best receivers on the team in that game were the tight end and the running backs. That's a problem because that's been what the issue is outside of Darius Slayton, who didn't play, right? Outside of Darius Slayton, who didn't play, Wandale Robinson didn't play. So that means it was a perfect setup for Jalin Hyatt and for Malik Nabers to come out guns blazing immediately. And I know they tried. I know they tried to get them the ball, right? I know they tried to get them the ball, but it didn't happen. And that goes into my second stop down. These backup quarterbacks were not good yesterday. Neither one of them. And I'll be more specific in what I mean because I know somebody is going to like argue the point. Drew Lock has been a starting quarterback in the NFL. Not just for like a couple games, not just for a few games, but for a season. And then spelling for some games. He is a guy that people thought had the chance to be a legitimate threat to Daniel Jones. Yesterday, if I was Daniel Jones, I would lean back in my chair. Because what I saw yesterday was a guy that was not ready to be the starter. Because starters, when they go against backups, you notice it. When you got a starting caliber guy out there going up against backups, you notice it. The defensive backfield for the Giants played lights out. Why? Because they were going up against backups. And they were starters. Most of them were, right? And in the case of a guy like Darnay Holmes, he started. He just hasn't done a lot of starting at corner. It was interesting to see him there, right? So we saw the dynamic from this starter, this guy who's been a starter, this guy who aspires to be a starter again in Drew Lock, go out there and look inept. He looked like he couldn't read defenses. Again, looked like. I'm going to dig into the all 22, but he looked like he couldn't read defenses. He looked like he didn't want to pull the trigger, which was surprising for a guy who's been known as a gunslinger. It was surprising for a guy who's been known for his YOLO ability, right? For him not to pull the trigger on some of these things was a major diss for him. Like I was over there really like shocked, like, yo, what is this dude doing? And then, right, on top of it, his management of the pocket, again, giving up a sack that should have never been a sack. He should have either stepped up in the pocket to give himself more time, took off and ran, like full speed took off and ran, or threw the ball away. Instead, he's back there, and then he just starts vacating the pocket to the right. It's a full, clean pocket. Last year, quarterbacks were getting pressure right up the middle, which flushed them to the sacks on the south side. This year, no pressure up the middle, and you're still running and flushing to the left and the right? Makes no sense. It was a bad day for him. And not for what it's worth, it was a bad day for Tommy DeVito. Now, some people might say, oh, well, it started off well. You know, he was, I think at one point in time, he might have been like 8 for 9 or something like that, or maybe even 7 for 9 or something for some yards. But all of his yards really came in the one big pass to Gray and then the two passes to Jackson, right? So the one pass to Gray and the two passes to Jackson essentially is his entire work. He finished the game either at 500 or right under 500 or 50% completion. Why? He still doesn't seem like he always knows where he's going with the football. He still seems like he's trying to figure it out on the fly. He doesn't seem as if he has awareness of getting the ball out of his hand. He took a sack where he was just sitting back there and waited too late to try to take off and or throw the ball. For a guy who spent so many times behind a bad, so many games behind a bad offensive line where he knew he had to get out, he still doesn't have a sped up clock in his mind. Either a sped up clock to get the ball off and make the pass, or a sped up clock to take off and run. He took off. And so, like, what I call a guy like Tommy DeVito is I call him the gift and the curse, because he made some really good plays, right? The third down pass to Gray was a great pass. He dropped it over him, led him so he could catch it and keep running. He escaped with his pocket. The passes to Jackson were good passes. They were able to catch him in stride and run it, right, in some of those cases. Then in other times, he was throwing balls behind guys. He was not throwing a ball when he should have thrown the ball. He was not running when he should have ran. He was running when he should have thrown. Like, that level, for him to still be that wildly inconsistent after all of the time that he spent in college, and then all of the time that he spent in the NFL last year playing, second year in the same offense, like, I was surprised that he didn't hit the ground running faster. Now, does that mean that I think it's over for those guys? No. Does that mean I think that the wide receiving core is terrible? No. What it does mean is that we should probably pump the brakes on, like, the Drew Lock has a chance to win this starting job. Like, he did not look like a guy ready to win a starting job. We probably should pump the brakes on, oh my gosh, we have to keep Tommy DeVito. Why? Like, nothing I saw told me that, you know, the Giants would be in a good shape if Tommy DeVito has to come back in and be the starter again. We've seen that story. And, right, we want to see improvement. So until we see improvement, I'm not saying, hey, the Giants need to keep Tommy DeVito on the roster. I think yesterday during the telecast, Phil Simms talked about the Giants are going to keep three quarterbacks. Why? If they don't need to keep three quarterbacks, why would they keep three quarterbacks? If keeping Tommy DeVito and or Drew Lock means that you have to cut somebody that could be valuable to the team, then I'm cutting one of those two and I'm going to pick somebody up to be on the practice squad if those guys don't fall through the cracks, right? If Tommy DeVito gets scooped up by somebody else, like, say, for instance, if the Giants cut Tommy DeVito, right, and he got picked up by the Lions, and then the Lions let Hooker go. If I'm the Giants, I go grab Hooker, right? One of those guys that fall by the wayside with the Ravens, they're not going to be able to sign all of to keep all those quarterbacks. I'm picking one of those up. What about the Browns and their quarterback situation? They're not going to be able to keep all those guys. I'm picking up one of those guys. There are so many guys in the NFL to have experience, more talent, and more moxie than what Tommy DeVito has. So, like, if it's a situation where we lose, where if I'm the coach and we lose Tommy DeVito, I'm not going, oh my gosh, I lost Tommy DeVito. Now, would I like to have Tommy DeVito and continue to develop him? Absolutely. Right? He knows my system. We've seen him do positive things. Can I get him to do it more consistently, right? But if that means that I have to part with a piece that I think might be more valuable to me right now, Tommy DeVito's got to go. Not for nothing, though. Right now, I would say goodbye to Drew Lock and take my chance with Tommy DeVito as the backup, because at least I know I'm going to get the gifts from Tommy DeVito. It was a really bad showing for you know, for Drew Lock, if you're asking me. A really, really bad showing. He's going to have to show more in the future if he thinks he has a chance to be the number two guy. Because you know, that little 1 year deal, they might eat that and just say, you know, charge it to the game if they only want to keep two quarterbacks. Now, will they keep three quarterbacks? It's possible. But from what I saw, they might want to keep four running backs. They might want to keep four tight ends, right? They might want to keep four running backs. They might want to keep four tight ends because that front line on the kickoff return team has to be better at blocking and they have to be more athletic. You're probably not, you know, going to be able to get away with the defensive linemen that you may have had on there in the past or that or the long snapper that might have actually done. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have legitimate athletes that can block in space. And so if those running backs and tight ends prove to be the guys who can do that, they have more value than a third string quarterback does. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm sure somebody will tell me I don't understand roster management, and it'll probably be somebody who's never played football or never been in a front office, that's only ever talked to people and just think they know. That's the thing that I have to deal with, and I deal with it, right? I had someone claim one time that I was a contrarian, and I said to them, just because I don't agree with what you think doesn't mean I'm a contrarian, and just because you think how everybody else thinks doesn't mean I'm a contrarian. It just means that I have a different opinion that doesn't come from like nowhere or from others, because a lot of people form opinion based off of what others tell them, and I don't. So I love to be able to give you guys a different perspective from somebody who coaches, from someone who's played, from someone who's covered the game, and for someone who's been a fan. I give you all the perspectives. There was a lot of positives to take from this game. There are some things that they're going to need to get answered. And not for nothing, I'll be very disappointed if I don't see all of the starters, or at least all of the starters that should be getting reps in preseason game number two. But for game number one, they get an A from me. I got no problem with it. Make sure that you check out everything that we're doing over at the New York Giants on SI for all of your news, your updates, your stories, all of my GGUs, all of my writings that I have coming down there. Make sure you check it out there. And make sure that you are helping us get closer to 2,000 subscribers by the beginning of the season, by making sure that you subscribe to the podcast. We appreciate all the love. We appreciate all the support. And until next time, I'm Coach Gene Clemens, and I have a giant issue.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.